Okay, I am ready to go. And so where are we? Where are we? So where are we now? Remember last night I said that there was something on my mind? What the fuck, dude? This goddamn chair just doesn't feel like... It feels like I ought to be up here, man. Fuck it, you know. remember last night I said there was something that was bothering me, but I couldn't tell you what it was? I didn't want to tell you what it was. I'm not even sure I want to tell you what it is now, but I suppose it comes with the price of a backstage pass. And it also, to be more serious about it, it would actually do me good to tell you. I don't know what I hope to get out of it, but Lauren and I split up. And I kind of saw it happening, you know, a little bit. I saw us kind of pulling away from each other, you know. And, you know, so it's just as simple as that. It's not heavy fucking math or science that comes into play when we talk about two people. Just, it's not happening. Or it's not happening for one. Or it's not happening for the other one. I'd say in our situation, she needs to be, I think, you know, I don't want to tell her story for her. You know, that wouldn't be fair. You know, I'm not going to start telling you all about her. I can tell you all about me. For the first time in my life, with her, with Lauren, I had met a woman who actually, I hate to say this, but gave me something. I mean, it sounds pathetic, but it's really kind of true. And it's not the fault of the women that I've been with. It's not their fault. It's that's all I ever looked for were women that were dependent and needy. So they needed me. I had to prove myself to them. They needed this, they needed that, they needed something else. And if I was able to achieve that shit, then... you know, I'm a worthy man. That's kind of how I was raised. You know, I was raised in a home where I was the kid, I was the one in the family that had to find an answer and a solution to things. I was the kid that had his shit together. I was the third in line. I was the best student. I was the most sensible of the four kids, et cetera, et cetera. And so, I went through life solving motherfucking problems for people. Being competent, you know, or given the illusion of being competent. Not rocking the boat. Not being the one that stood out. And I tell you, for close to 20 years of my career, that's what I was. I was just a real good, solid radio guy, you know. I didn't push myself beyond those bounds at all, man. One of the reasons why I think in my life I stayed with radio for as long as I did is because I had not really given it the big run that I needed to. I remember when I left radio in the 80s and I went back to school. I was taking photography. I got into an acting class, you know. And I went back to, I kept being drawn back to radio because I always said to myself, you can't give up on that. You still have something to prove here. Because I knew I wasn't, I had talent for it, you know. Some people said to me, but wouldn't it be a great thing had you given up on radio and you just pursued those other things 100%? I don't know. I don't think so. I think I had to play out that fucking hand somehow, man. So anyway... So with Lauren, she was the first one I didn't really have to do anything for. I didn't feel like I did, you know. I didn't have to take care of her. I didn't have to solve massive financial problems for her. I didn't have to, I didn't feel that way. Who knows what was, you know, going on in her head. But I also knew that she was... you know, Lauren's really talented, man. She's a super talented woman. She really is. I mean, she's a great writer. She's really funny. And I knew that she was not really, you know, doing that. She had left her marriage. She was done with her marriage. She hooked up with me and was kind of, you know, being an assistant Phil. And, which I can't tell you that I didn't like that. I mean, I loved it, but I knew that she's got so much going on for it, man. She just really does. And she's got to work that. You know, she's young enough to do it. And doing that and doing the traditional paying attention to a man thing while she's doing that was not gonna be good for her, you know. And so, you know, we were driving back from the hockey game, and I said, "This is as sad as it was for the two of us. It was fucking sad, and it's been sad, man." I said, "This is where it's got to go. This is exactly what's got to happen." You know, there's an old saying, if it doesn't hurt, you're doing it wrong. It has to do with personal growth. You know, if shit doesn't hurt, if shit doesn't, you know, put you through some changes, then you're not doing it right. If it all feels real fucking good as you go through life, you're not getting it right. So, you know, we were hurting, and the thing of it is take all that other stuff and push it aside. I just fucking miss her. I just miss her, you know. You know, she made me laugh. She's beautiful. She's warm. She's smart as hell. She and I had a real thing for fucking old movies. You know, how cliche is that? Well, that was us. She was always turning me on to some flick she was watching, some documentary she was watching, some old movie she was into, some horror flick. Interesting thing, all the women I've known over the last 10 years have all been into horror fucking movies big time. I don't know what that is. Honest to Christ, serious horror movies. And at our best, at the most fun with being with Lauren for me, was going down here to Quincy Street, our little, what we called our Cheers bar, our little Cheers restaurant. Going down to Quincy Street, having some drinks, she loved that spicy pasta dish that Denny's got down there. Denny's got a fucking menu that's just, it's great pasta menu, great little steak menu. So she would have this spicy pasta, and I would have a steak or a wedge salad or something, and we'd have these Long Island iced teas that they make down there that kick your fucking ass. And we'd come back to the house, and we'd watch some really cool old flick. And on the weekends, you know, find something else to do, man. There was a Greek restaurant over here in the harbor we'd go to. We'd take a drive to Santa Barbara. We a lot of times went to the desert. Palm Springs. We did a couple of runs up to Big Sur two times for my birthday, one time last spring. We traveled around. I like to travel. You know, I like to go places, and I don't have the opportunity to do it. I don't have the fucking time. Every time I go somewhere, there's a huge bunch of shit that's got to get done before I can go anywhere. And the longer I go away, the more shit has got to get done. So it's very time-consuming. But whenever we could, we got out of here. Went to Canada a couple times, see my cousins. I wanted to take her to Europe. We were going to go to London. All that good shit. But that was us at our best, you know. I think moving around, doing stuff. And there weren't a lot of times we were at our worst. There was not a lot of, just these last, I would say, you know, 4, 5, 6 weeks, really. I mean, when I knew, you know, and she knew. And I don't know if it's permanent. I don't know how long. Is it permanent? Is this it? Is this the end? I have no idea. But I gotta play it like it is. I don't believe in. But it ain't like I'm running around looking for a girlfriend either. I don't know about anybody else. Probably some guys that's what they do. I don't. I mean, I just don't. I mean, I my heart literally wouldn't be in it. So then what I do is the second best thing that I do. I'm at my best if I'm with somebody like her. I'm at my second best when I'm just goddamn well by myself. And I'm not bothering anybody, and they're not bothering me. And I do my work. I do my thing, you know, with my friends. Thank God I've got some very good friends, lifelong friends. I was at the football game with one of them the other night. Spent the night over at Don and Pam's house. They got a beautiful new home over here in Sierra Madre. This cat, if ever a guy deserved it, man, he does. He's got a beautiful house, got great kids, one of whom works for me, Joe. Those are the people that I, you know, hang with when I'm just not really, you know, ready for the world, you know, and you know, but so I'm like I said, more than anything, I miss her, you know. So this is a very interesting study, and you know, like I say, just last night I was saying, well, you know, the backstage pass. You guys watching this, here I am doing a pre-show. I gotta somehow get my fucking head into doing a show. And I will, because you learn how to take all this fucked up energy. I'd say fucked up, and it's not really fucked up energy, but it's not the energy that's taking you into the place of funny necessarily. It's taking you some other places, some very self-reflective places, and you know. But you take it and you turn it toward you know, performing the way I perform, whatever the fuck this is that I do. By the way, Saturday or Friday night, we have a really good lineup. Valerie Gregson's going to be with us. We're going to have Nick Rutherford. We're going to have... Who else is in the lineup? Oh, Fraser Smith. For our very last... for our last night of the year at the Hollywood Improv, my buddy Fraser Smith. I've got a list of cats. I've got to get this list together here, man. Ow. Mm-hmm. Now, what is this, Joe? I just got a email from Lauren. She says, I sent her a bunch of pictures, and I said, I have these pictures. I don't know if you want any of them. I'm going to sort of reorder them a little bit, maybe delete a few. And she said, yeah, I would. I said, do you want me to send all? She says, well, you can just send me a few. I said, I'll send you sort of a collection, you know, maybe a, I don't know, a collection over time, some kind of a thing like that. So I sent it to her. And then as a thought, I had they let you make a movie on, like an idiot, I made this fucking movie. And it just, you know, I bawled, but maybe I can find it for you. Fuck, I don't know, man. And she said to me just now, I'm afraid to look at them. I don't blame her. I that was the worst thing that I could have done, man, is I looked at these things after I sent them to her. And it was just a bummer, man. Let's see here. What is this movie going to play? File begin downloading automatically. Oh, there we go. Oh, here we are. Open when done. Let's see. I don't know. I put some music to it. They let you put... It's a stupid little program on the Movie Maker. Wait a second. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. Let me just stop and... Thank you. Well, that was that I shouldn't have done that. Why did I send that to her? I mean, and I put happy music to it. I thought, well, you know, here's some, you know, happy times, but I'll get it together. Don't worry about it. That makes it, like, worse, you know, if you put happy music to it and says, you know. Let's see what we can do here. What fun we can have. All right. Here we go. But how much time have I got? Okay. No, I know I have another commercial I do. All right. Is this the week of the 28th? Yes, it is. Nature Box. Nature Box. You know what? I've got 1, 2, 3 spots. I don't have to do any spots tonight. What I can do is do the promo. I'll just do the promo. And that is chive, I believe. I think it is the chive. Chive. She said in her email, she said, I don't have the guts to look at them. Boy, I know what she means, you know. So, let's see here. All right. By the way, I'm very, 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 I don't know whether I'm put out or I'm just, there was a writer at Politico who I thought, and a lot of people thought, had identified that guy on the plane, the Delta Airlines guy. He was a guy on the plane, was calling everybody that voted for Hillary Clinton a bitch. Any Hillary bitches here? I don't know if you heard the story, but it's been well reported. But what wasn't reported, who was he? Well, a writer for Politico, I think he's an independent journalist who's on Twitter, wrote an article putting a name to the face and an occupation. Turns out, according to the company that this man said the guy on the airplane worked for, the man that worked for them was not that guy on the airplane. So he misidentified. A lot of us, myself included, retweeted and retweeted and relinked or linked his story, only to find out today, by the way, that's not the company. And although on his feed, I did see the name of this man repeated. So I don't know whether that's the right name or not, but I decided the only place where I did put the name up was on Facebook, and I deleted that post. And I also put up a post basically saying, you know, this information apparently is wrong. Now, and I did that not 24 fucking hours, 48 hours to saying, you know, it's not hard to, you know what, fake news is one thing. Misreporting something is something else, though. Fake news, you ought to know whether a story is fake or not. But the details of a story can be fucked up, and people with the best of intentions can report those fucked up facts, myself included. Because we have this this training kicks in our business, which is get that shit on the air before anybody else. It's just something that I've lived with for 40 years. You know, my background is primarily as an entertainer, but I come out of radio where everything sort of, if you've ever been in the broadcast business, especially in radio, you know that everything kind of intertwines. You're on the air, but you're also doing the weather, you're doing the traffic, sometimes you're doing the news. So you have to wear a lot of hats, and you learn a lot of things about journalism, and you learn especially the competitive nature of it. See, today everything's, as they say, the news is a product, meaning, here is my version of the news. You may like my version of the news better than you like that other cat's version of the news. But in the old days, it was, well, who got the story first? Everybody had the same story. Who got it on the air first? Who got more facts before the other guy? Today, news is necessarily editorially treated. So, for instance, Fox's news is a different product from CNN's news. Fox's news is the conservative spin on the story. CNN's story, some people tends to be more liberal. MSNBC, CNBC, and so on and so forth down the line. And then we see that little hashtag, mainstream media. Well, yeah, as opposed to what, man? As opposed to fucking InfoWars and Prison Planet? That is absolute, utter, editorially treated information. I wouldn't even call it news. It's editorially marinated, and then it's brought up out of the marinade pan and given to you, soaked in this marinade of far-right ideology, and they call that news. It's not. It's them taking a story and recasting it for their purposes. Same thing with the liberal press. But don't ever think that because something's not mainstream, we're not mainstream media, don't think that's necessarily a good thing. In fact, 99% of the time, it's worse. You may have yourself talked into a lot of things. And I'm not trying to talk anybody out of anything, because I know far, far too well what a wasted effort that is. But if you ever find yourself actually giving a shit about getting the facts straight, then the last thing you're going to do is rely on the so-called alternative press, because they fuck it up worse, far worse than the mainstream media. And this is not, I'm not controlled by some Jewish cabal. There's nobody, you know, the Trilateral Commission is not giving me my fucking information. This is just my experience. This is what I've seen. You know, in order for me to spout some internationally approved ancient party line, you'd have to pay my motherfucking ass a lot of goddamn money, and nobody's doing that. Every dime I make, I earn myself. So I got no, well, I got no connection to the grand Jewish media daddy that's, you know, somehow. All right, so where we at, man? All right. Anyway, I don't want to get into a big fucking song and a dance about that. There's some people that are really fucked up. They're really fucked up. I'm no kidding. Now, what are we going to do with this, huh? What are we going to do with this, huh? There are some people that are really, I mean, just buried in a thoroughly warped view of the world. And they think they've got it so right. They think it's far more complex than it is, and it isn't. It's basically a world run on emotion, and always has been. It's not run on any intellect. It's run on emotion. Feeling. How are we feeling today? That's how the world is run. Now, we're getting maybe to a place where we're more intellectual about things. I don't necessarily know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. I'm willing to accept it, you know. I'm not one of the guys that makes the rules, man. That's for goddamn sure. Man, I'm just here, you know, trying to keep my pecker hard and my powder dry. Excuse me, it's a line from Platoon. I think. What time is it? Jesus Christ. We are well off the fucking beaten path here. Dr. Jim Sadler tonight. Chrome. Wait. Here we go. What else am I doing here? Honolulu, baby, where'd you get those eyes and the dark complexion? Idolize. Dr. Ed Elcott. Do. Hallelujah, baby. Where'd you get that? I would love to do another Dave Oliva bit where he's talking about it gets overly dramatic with his fucking lingo. Let me see. Dave Oliva. Dave is going to be hosting at the club. Improv. Today's Monday, right? Yeah. Or today's Tuesday, but I'm doing this on Monday night. Chris Norton ought to give me some relationship advice. Oh, I know, flipping out on an airplane. Art Griego, flipping out on an airplane. I love it. All right. Now. Oh, pretty woman, what you do? Mm-mm-mm. Pretty woman, what's the matter with you? Mm-mm-mm-mm-mm. And then Art Griego, who's at the hangar. Hey, we got to do it in the bathtub, man. Been a long day for Art. Testing 1, 2, 3. John Tavares. Ready to that. Ready to go. Ready to rock and roll. All right, man.
Do-do-do-do-do. Do-do-do-do.
Let's do it.